David Rouskoll, Ray Surface, welcome.
Thank you.
Hello.
Okay, funny and heartwarming, macabre around the edges. My Dead Clown. David, would you give us a one-sentence scenario of what's happening here?
A very sad funeral director who's trying to keep his job accidentally puts holy water in an embalming machine and brings a dead clown to life.
That's a great premise, and oh my goodness, it could be a variety of pop culture stories right there. Now, Ray, what's your take on directing such an offbeat play?
I've come at it from a pretty collaborative work, and I see it as a comedy at heart, so I've pushed the absurdity and have fun with it.
And there's a lot of other things going on, including a special song. Tell us about that.
The song is Let's Paint a Town, and it is basically talking someone out of suicide.
Really got a powerful message, too.
Absolutely.
And this is not a musical, to be sure, yet this song has a big part in the play.
A huge part of it, yes.
Very, very interesting. So getting to work with the playwright isn't all that common, Ray, and actually this is your first solo directing tour as well.
Yes, it is.
What does it all add up to doing this show then, as interesting as it sounds, and with David?
David's been a great resource, taking his lead and how the feel of the story should be. I think we've worked really well together, throwing ideas back and forth, having them around has been great. As first time directing a full-length play, you know, you're just telling a story and try to really get to the meat of the characters and make them relatable, but still fun.
It is all about the storytelling. I certainly have to say right here is quite a story that you're telling. And David, your background happens to be theater plus mortuary work. So
correct.
Equal parts passion here?
Yes. I've got television, movie, theater background. I do write, but this story particular happened to stick because you write what you know, so I think that's why it really stands out.
Okay, which came first in your life, the funeral directing and embalming or the stage stuff?
I grew up on stage as a kid doing three shows probably a year, but when I decided to do a profession, I wanted to eat, so I was afraid to go into acting, and so I chose the funeral director field.
Well, you made a definitive choice, but you didn't have to stop doing one in order to keep doing the other.
Correct. And oddly, now when I look back on funeral directing, I'm putting on a show. I have props. I have performers like the minister. I have makeup. I have costumes. But my shows are put on in 2 or 3 days. So maybe subconsciously I was easing my pain.
That's an incredible, insightful thought right there. And we'll have to follow it through and see what leads where. And in that vein, I get that playgoers are likely to enjoy your funereal connections. But what about the other way around?
Well, so far, there's been a lot of excitement with the families that I've served. They've been calling and asking, when is this going to happen? We want to be there. I think they know me enough that I'm very serious about my job, but they also know that I have a very humorous side, and I tend to use that to get them through these tough times. And not all funeral directors do that, but I can feel the timing enough when it's maybe to put a little humor in there. And so we've connected very well with these families.
And as regards such a show, First Presbyterian Theater is known for its very thoughtful, very cutting edge at times, and certainly not afraid to take a good look at any hard situation or any funny and off the wall situation. How are you thinking that people are going to respond? What are you hearing so far, word on the street?
Everybody I tell about this play has been just immediately interested in the premise of it. I think it's one of these stories that you can recommend to so many people because it's funny, it's heartwarming, it's a very human story, but it's got humor of all levels, and I think all sorts of people will enjoy it.
And okay, the two big symbolisms at play are clowns and dying. And the business of dying, now that's been showing up on television, like 6 Feet Under and series like that. Also reality, even. So it's there. It's in pop fiction settings. What's the attraction besides its universality, would you say?
You know, it's interesting. I had a speaker tell me, he said 100 years ago, if a speaker got up to talk about death, you'd have a full house. If you got up and talked about sex, you'd have nobody there. You might even get run out on a rail. Now it's switched around where people want to know more about sex and go to all that, and then they avoid the death. But it just seems all of a sudden we're kind of going back. I think people are kind of growing up a little bit, and they want to start understanding maybe an afterlife or where they're from or what's their history. And so it's starting to catch on. To learn more about death, sometimes you learn more about life.
Do you think that all of this and even plays like this are going to help that universal problem of fearing death? Because it is inevitable.
Yes. The show is light, you know, so we're going to kind of distract maybe that fear part by having silly characters in it like Death show up and actually the devil too. So these characters kind of soften it, but yet they talk about the topic. Sometimes if you directly bring in characters that are kind of rough, it kind of scares people and maybe they don't even hear what you're saying.
Good point there. Okay, then clowns, I get that balance. But from Commedia dell'arte, which is like 16th century sensibility, to the 21st century bad clown craze, and all of the circus activity in between all of these years, where does your character, Dingy, weigh in?
Dingy is, it's just funny where he showed up. When I went to write the play, I sat beside a crazy guy, and he said his job was being a clown. And that sparked the story. What would be the last thing I need in a funeral home? It would be a crazy clown running down the halls and driving everybody crazy or silly. So that's really the premise of the story. But I think the clown, this whole turn with the recent scary, the Pennywise, the It's and all that, it's made it uncomfortable for people. And so I made the clown funny, but he's dead. So I'm making it a little bit uncomfortable for you, awkward. But yet you'll fall in love with him because he's so loving.
So you might even be topsy-turvying everything because you fear death, too. Everything sounds like it's getting shaken up.
I want you to feel a lot of different feelings all at once, and then you're not sure. So you have to ride out the ride.
Sounds like it's going to be a successful one.
Thanks.
Now I have to ask, why put these two incredibly off-the-wall premises into a play, especially a play about hope? Is that what we're going to get here?
Yeah, I think you're going to get a big, warm, fuzzy ending, then maybe even a tear, because that's the kind of shows I want to see. I'm the Wonderful Life kind of guy that if you're going to take me through hell and back at the end, I better feel really darn good, and that's the approach. We want you to feel that happy ending that you do in It's a Wonderful Life, which a couple of people have compared this show to in its own odd way.
That's understandable. And Ray, might that have helped your whole sensibility just sitting down and thinking, okay, where do I start?
A Wonderful Life definitely came to mind when working on this and first reading it. Also, a movie called The Fisher King, because it's a redemption story. It is very funny, and it has its dark elements and characters that sometimes you don't like in that moment, but the end is uplifting and happy, and you're going to walk away feeling good.
Now, I am kind of curious, Ray, what are the biggest challenges you've encountered in keeping everything that seems to be at play all balanced?
I'm very visual. So for me, as a technical director, I started with the set and how I wanted this to look. And then from there, that's informed a lot of how I want the scenes to be acted out and for them to flow. The writing incorporates a lot of visual gags and comedic gags and straight up cartoonish gags. So I use that to inform, especially the hilarious scenes. The visualness is a big key for me.
You're making a good sell for the show. Now, who do you feel is your most likely audience for this?
I think people with maybe a little twisted sense of humor. You know, you've got to be at least a little willing to tread the line to the dark side a little bit to enjoy something that's about, you know, death and has a dead clown in it. But if you want to have a good time, too.
I think the younger groups, the 20s and 30-year-olds, would definitely latch on to it. It's their kind of theme that they're talking about right now. And then just overall, anybody who can open up their minds, and I ask them that in my little note, open up your mind, you know, be that kid again that has the bowl of cereal on a Saturday and watches Saturday cartoons and just feel wacky, because we're going to get wacky.
And good for you and good for them. And yes, without warning, then everybody is ready for the show, it sounds like. Now, David, this is an award-winning story with several theater groups interested in producing it. Why did you choose First Presbyterian?
Tom there grabbed me right away and said, before you make any decisions, I want you to come see the theater. And I had not seen it because I'm still a newbie in the area. Mm-hmm. And so when I went to see Taming of the Shrew, I walked in and it was just an instant moment. Because of the performance of this play, the physicality of humor, it's going to require a very wide stage. And I also like the message that the church connection is with the theater and with this story. You'll find later why. But the intimate setting, everything. I knew it. All right, when I walked in, this is it.
Great.
This is
you
the
had
spot.
An aha moment right
oh,
there.
Oh, absolutely.
That's fantastic. Now, Ray, this play officially kicks off the theater's 50th anniversary season. How do you think it measures up to that task?
I think it measures up well. What more could we ask than to have an original play written by a local playwright, something that is unique? I think it stands up. Plus, it's a bonus show for our season. Usually, we just do 6 shows, and we have 7.
Oh, my goodness. It's a kickoff and a bonus, and it sounds like one heck of a play. So who could ask for anything more? So, before you get back to practice, which I know is where you're headed next, what do you most hope your audiences are going to take home in their hearts after seeing this show?
I think they'll take home hope and go home and be thinking about all the great things they have and be thankful for those things. I think they'll just feel good.
You know, people don't remember what you say. It's how you make them feel. And so I definitely think people are going to come out of there with a great warm heart, feeling good. And never give up kind of thing. I'm never going to give up.
David Rauskulp is playwright and Ray Surface director of My Dead Clown, which opens at First Presbyterian Theater this week. David, Ray, here's hoping your production will truly bring delight everlasting.
Thank you.
Hey there, lonely. That was WBOI's Julia Meek, speaking with Fort Wayne playwright David Rauskulp and director Ray Surface, the world premiere of David's new work, My Dead Clown, at the First Presbyterian Theater. The music you're hearing is Let's Paint the Town, written for the play by Rauskulp, featuring Kat Bowser. You can hear more of Julia Meek's arts and culture coverage on 89.1 WBOI.
No time.